Give it. Now. I'm thinking of my mother when the blast changes everything.
Part 1. Wabanaug. East. In Ojibwe teachings, all journeys begin in the eastern direction.
Chapter 1. I start my day before sunrise, throwing on running clothes and laying a pinch of sema at the eastern base of a tree, where sunlight will touch the tobacco first. Prayers begin with offering sema and sharing my spirit name, clan,
and where I am from.
I always add an extra name to make sure Creator knows who I am. A name that connects me to my father, because I began as a secret, and then a scandal. I give thanks to Creator and ask for Zunga Dewin, because I'll need courage for what I have to do after my 5-mile run. I've put it off for a week. The sky lightens as I stretch in the driveway. My brother complains about my lengthy warm-up routine whenever he runs with me. I keep telling Levi that my longer, bigger, and therefore vastly superior muscles require more intensive preparation for peak performance. The real reason, which he would think is dorky, is that I recite the correct anatomical name for each muscle as I stretch. Not just the superficial muscles, but the deep ones too. I want an edge over the other college freshmen in my human anatomy class this fall. By the time I finish my warm-up and anatomy review, the sun peeks through the trees. One ray of light shines on my sema offering.
Nishin, it is good.
My first mile is always the hardest. Part of me still wants to be in bed with my cat, Harry, whose purrs are the opposite of an alarm clock. But if I power through, my breathing will find its rhythm, accompanied by the swish of my heavy ponytail. My legs and arms will operate on autopilot. That's when my mind will wander into the zone, where I'm part of this world, but also somewhere else, and the miles pass in a semi-alert haze. My route takes me through campus. The prettiest view in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan is on the other side. I blow a kiss as I run past Lake State's newest dorm, Fontaine Hall, named after my grandfather on my mother's side. My grandmother, Mary, I call her Grand Mary, insisted I wear a dress to the dedication ceremony last summer. I was tempted to scowl in the photos, but I knew my defiance would hurt Mom more than it would tick off Grand Mary. I cut through the parking lot behind the student union toward the north end of campus. The bluff showcases a gorgeous panoramic view of the St. Mary's River, the international bridge into Canada, and the city of Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Nestled in the bend of the river east of town is my favorite place in the universe, Sugar Island. The rising sun hides behind a low, dark cloud at the horizon beyond the island. I halt in place, awestruck. Shafts of light fan out from the cloud as if Sugar Island is the source of the sun's rays. A cool breeze ruffles my t-shirt, giving me goosebumps in mid-August. Zizibaka Mini Sing, I whisper in Anishinaabe Moin the name for the island, which my father taught me when I was little. It sounds like a prayer. My father's family, the Firekeeper side, is as much a part of Sugar Island as its spring-fed streams and sugar maple trees. When the cloud moves on and the sun reclaims her rays, a gust of wind propels me forward, back to my run and to the task ahead. 45 minutes later, I end my run at Evercare, a long-term care facility a few blocks from home. Today's run felt backward, peaking in the first mile and becoming progressively more difficult. I tried chasing the zone, but it was a mirage just beyond my reach. Morning, Donis. Mrs. Bonacera, the head nurse, says from behind the front desk. Mary had a good night. Your mom's already here. Still catching my breath, I give my usual good morning wave. The hallway seems to lengthen with each step. I steel myself for the possible responses to my announcement. In my imagined scenarios, a single furrowed brow conveys disappointment, annoyance, and the retracting of previous accolades. Maybe I should wait until tomorrow to announce my decision. Mrs. B didn't need to say anything. The heavy scent of roses in the hallway announces Mom's presence. When I enter the private room, she's gently massaging rose-scented lotion on my grandmother's thin arms. A fresh bouquet of yellow roses adds to the floral saturation level. Grand Marie's been at Evercare for 6 weeks now, and, the month before that, in the hospital. She had a stroke at my high school